As you guys know, we've been working through this series found in Matthew 5, where we often call it this section of text, the Beatitudes, and just some thought to kind of help us get to where we're going to be at today. If you can recall, this is Jesus offering a blessing over the people listening to what he has to say. Those would be Jews and some new believers in the Christian faith. And it's really the first big sermon or teaching moment of Jesus' ministry to the Gentiles. Now, we know he had taught the disciples before this, but this is the first really big teaching event of his ministry. And it's important to note that each statement in this sermon begins with a blessing and ends with a result of that blessing. As you know, last week we talked about mourning. And if you can remember, we had two key kind of takeaways for that message. The first being that mourning is okay, that it's just a normal thing for us to feel. And the second being that mourning is only temporary, and that there's hope when we're in community with those around us. With that being said, I'm sure most of you know this by now. Tuesday morning, I got a phone call that my grandmother had passed away, and so it was just kind of fitting that I preached on mourning last week as I'm in mourning myself. And I want to say on that note also, thank you to those of you that reached out to me this week. It really meant a lot to hear some encouragement and some kind words that you had to say. It's really, really helpful for me this week. But I want to ask you a question. Have you ever been hungry or thirsty? Surely you'd say yes. Like, have you ever really craved something? Maybe for the ladies in the house, you can think about a time you were pregnant. I mean, I hear some people say that they really crave weird things like pickle juice or something odd. Or maybe for my guys out there, maybe it was that time you were out in the hay field and it's 100 degrees outside and you really just want some water. Surely we can all agree that we have been. But there's also this thought, like, what does it feel like when you finally get what you've been craving? Like, maybe you feel happiness, maybe a little relief, at least for a temporary moment. I often think about it this way. When I was in the Army, we would do these things called field problems. And basically, you go out and you camp in a training area for like 2-3 weeks at a time. You don't get any connection with the outside world. It's kind of crappy. It's not really fun. And you eat MREs every day. Now, if you don't know what an MRE is, it's just a prepackaged meal that's kind of like doesn't really have an expiration date, so like not very good. And I was thinking about those, and man, you get a lot of happiness when you get back to where you came from, and you get to go home and eat that first real cooked meal for the first time in like 3 weeks. No longer are you fighting over who gets the MRE with M&Ms in it, but you're excited to get a real meal and to sit down and eat at a table again. So I want you to keep this thought captive as we walk through this morning's message. That thought of the feeling that you get when you finally get what you're craving. If you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn to Matthew 5, verse 6. That's where we're going to be this morning. I'll give you just a second to find that passage. All right. Matthew 5, 6 says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." I have a few thoughts for you this morning. The first, when I was studying in a commentary, I saw a commentator say, "Don't let this word righteousness be twisted into the word happiness." See, the world does this. I often think of this as this line, an eye for an eye. And when we want righteousness, we get it twisted. See, we see other people getting theirs as righteousness, and that's not what Jesus is saying here. I was thinking about this, and I think about things like the death penalty. You know, and I don't know where you stand on this issue, and frankly, we can talk about that another time. But what do you think you would feel as the person that harmed a family member or a friend of yours is put to death? Maybe joy, possibly peace, maybe like a little vengeance, like they got what they deserved. This is the eye for an eye mentality that Jesus is warning against, because that's the way of the world. And I have news for you, church. We're not the world. We are ambassadors of Christ. So most of you know I grew up in the church, and in my little church I grew up in, I had this Sunday school teacher named Tammy. Tammy was an amazing woman. And in the late 90s, Tammy was at work and her husband was at home, and a man broke into her home and murdered her husband and robbed her house. And Tammy went through the whole legal process, going to the court, living this moment over and over again. She had three young children that now no longer had a father. And Tammy would tell you this wasn't easy, but at the execution of the man that murdered her husband, she prayed for him that he would find peace, that she would find peace, that even though the legal system said what was going on was just that he would know the Lord, that he would one day, that he would go into a state of repentance and get to meet Jesus. See, I think that this is the image of righteousness that we need to be looking at. Not this idea of when somebody does something bad to me, they need to be done bad. See, if we understand that we should hunger and thirst for this, what's the reward at the end of this statement? I just want you to take a second to look at the last few words said by Jesus. It says, "You will be filled." Now, church, hear me. I understand that this isn't the easiest thing to do, right? That this idea of when something's taken away from you, maybe in an unjust or an unrighteous way, to offer righteousness back. But I think this filling that Jesus is talking about here is with peace and with love. See, we are to show others the same love that was shown to us. I think of John 3:16. That verse is kind of the pillar of our faith. And it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." I encourage you to think about this. Does this moment of God giving his only son seem like righteousness to you? See, if it were righteous, and if it were righteous the way that we often see righteousness, God would have just let us die. But instead, in the ultimate act of righteousness, he became flesh and died for our sins. This doesn't seem fair. So when you're looking for what you may be filled with this thought. The only thing that could fix our thirst for righteousness was a God that was willing to do something so extreme we wouldn't even say it was righteous. Such a crazy statement to think about, but when times are tough, this is what we should be clinging to so that we can be filled. In fact, I got a phone call last week as when my grandma passed. I was leading a weekly prayer group. There's something that I started about 2 years ago. We do a devotional as a dorm every week, and I started a prayer group with my dorm floor, and so we get together about an hour before we do the dorm devotional, and we just offer a word of prayer. And that phone call informed me that my grandmother passed away. Now, I felt like this thought of this isn't fair, this isn't righteous. Now, many of you probably don't know, but me and my grandma were actually really, really close, and we had made a deal that she would make it until I graduated college, because she had been to my high school graduation, kindergarten, high school, basic training, and she really wanted to see me graduate college. And so we had this deal, but in a matter of seconds, that was taken away. That wasn't going to happen. She wasn't going to get to see me graduate college. And it didn't feel righteous. It didn't feel just. Didn't feel fair. But see, this act of righteousness done by Jesus gave me something to cling to. This hope that God loved us so much that he sent his son in a righteous act to die for us gave me this hope to cling to, that one day I get to see my grandmother again. And family, church, I want you to hear this. When you have those moments of toughness, those moments that don't feel fair, cling to that act of righteousness, because that will give you hope. In fact, last year I was eating in the cafeteria for lunch during the school year, and I got a call that morning that my friend had been killed in Afghanistan to an IED blast. I was eating with a professor, and it just didn't seem fair. It wasn't righteous. Somebody had taken a life and left small children with no father, left people that were close without a friend, without a brother, without a son, and that's not righteous. But again, this idea of Jesus, of God being sending Jesus in such a righteous act, gave me a hope to cling to. So my plea to you this morning, church, is this. When you're full of thirst or hunger, turn that thirst to God. Because ultimately, only Christ can fill those needs. When you're so hungry, you can't think of anything else, or you're so thirsty, you can't think of anything else but to fill up what you need, turn it over to God, because He's the only one that can satisfy what we need. That's my hope for you this morning, that whenever you get into a situation where you feel like you're starving or you're thirsty or you're weak, turn those moments over to God, because He was the one who made the righteous act for us so we could be filled. Let's pray. Father, I just thank You for Your word this morning, for the opportunity to share these thoughts about the righteous act You made through Your Son, that You sent Him here to die for us so that we could no longer have to hunger and thirst for eternity, because one day we will be filled and get an opportunity to join You in heaven. We thank You for all that You've done through Your Son and the hope that You give us. It's in Your name we pray. Amen.